Hello, we are here in the studio with Rishabh Verma, co-founder of Navgurukul. Thanks for dropping by, Rishabh. And so let's just get right down to it. What made you decide that an institution like Navgurukul existed? But before you do that, could you just tell our listeners a little bit about what Navgurukul is?
So for me, the idea of Navgurukul was that I had a sort of exposure to new ideas and exposure to a lot of big network of people, which helped me do whatever I wanted to in my life, which helped me go on a personal journey of my own. And mostly, for the normal people, this journey starts in college. This journey, the college is the gateway of this journey. And most of the underprivileged in the country don't really get a chance to go to college. Or if we think of what a college for an underprivileged person looks like, you're going to have fancy images of self-exploration, of people exploring their passions, while nothing of this sort is happening for the underprivileged. So can I sort of make an alternative to college for the underprivileged, which is scalable, which is very, very cheap so that it can be offered for free, in a similar way I would make it for my little brother? That was the basic idea of Navgurukul. So Navgurukul is a one-year residential program where we teach them software engineering to give them an economic core so that they can sustain on their own. And after that, there's a lot of other ideas to give them holistic education, to give them a holistic exposure to newer ideas in life that they can go on their own journeys in life. So that's what Navgurukul is.
And so Navgurukul has been open for about a year and a half now?
Yes, it's 2 years now.
2 years now. And so what has been the learning process of setting up such an institution?
So for me, the biggest learning process of setting up such an institution has been that normally the way nonprofits work, or the way any movements work, either in the country or in the world, it's mostly around how we are representing them, or how we are solving problems for them. So typically, you can think of it in a way that typically you'll see how men are probably trying to fight the women's rights movement, or how Brahmins are there on the forefront of the Dalit movement, or how the non-profits and the social sector is telling the underprivileged what is the right way to live life or what is the right things to do. But can we instead empower them to fight their own battles? And just thinking of the people I'm working with, not as beneficiaries, not as people I'm working with and I know more than you and I'm going to tell you something, instead of thinking of them as co-creators, like, you know as much as me, you have a much better understanding of your context, of your problems, and because I come from a world which probably gave me much a little more privilege than you do, let's understand how this can transfer, but overall you should be the ones who should be the problem solvers, and just trusting them with that has been the biggest learning and the biggest challenge for me, because that's not the natural mindset of working.
Okay, and so what sets Navgurukul apart from other educational institutions? Like, we know that the biggest thing is that you don't have teachers. Mm-hmm. So what are the other things that make it a unique learning experience?
I mean, so one of the things is definitely that we don't have teachers. But the idea of, that is just a manifestation of some of the philosophies which we have. I mean, some of the things which I think make Navgurukul unique as an educational institution as compared to everyone else is that one of the bigger things which I talked about is how we see them as the co-creators in the journey. I mean, whether it's co-creators of the curriculum or it's co-problem solvers of any of the problems that are going to come through. So that fundamentally changes our attitude towards our students. That's one thing. Then there are a couple of different things which we try out. Like, one of them is basically most of the educational institutions typically have this idea of evaluating output. I mean, whether it's in the form of marks or whether it's in the form of semester projects, or even if it's something very subjective like a research thesis or a film at the end of a semester, it's mostly driven by output. It does not judge that different baselines and different contexts and cultures which the students come from. For some, delivering a project might take them like X effort, while delivering a same kind of a project might take another student 3X effort. Because both of them come from very different backgrounds, very different baselines. The one might have gotten amazing exposure to ideas, a great education at school. The other one might have gone to a government school, didn't get any. So as an education institution, we always want to be one who prioritizes input and the hard work which the students put in than the output. So that's one. And that's one of the things, and the idea of co-creators is one. There are a couple of different things, but just one more thing which I can think of right now is that we sort of want to, we understand that how the people we work with who are coming from the underprivileged underprivileged sections of the society, majorly economically underprivileged, for them money is an essential part. For them, how can they figure out their roti kapda makan, or how can they figure out their basics, are very important, and that's why we have give them an economic core. But unlike an institution which either just talks about the self-exploration bit, or an institution which just talks about a very engineering-led education, we sort of try to balance it out in some way.
So, by a conventional standard, this whole idea is kind of outlandish.
Mm-hmm.
So, there are different groups that are helping you, but who are other kinds of groups that you'd like to involve in this project?
So I think right now, one of the biggest things which would happen, the best groups to be involved in the project, I think, is that, I mean, A, just for the aspect of adding much more diversity to the whole culture at Nav Gurukul, to all the students and all the people we work with, understanding and getting students from the other side, getting the privileged kids, getting the kids who actually, let's say, choose a traditional college even if they can afford it, over, like, choose Nav Gurukul over a traditional college. Students coming from a very diverse background than just the background which we work with right now would add a lot of diversity in the process. That's one I can think of. Second, other big group which I would like to work with, other academics, basically, because right now I see them as two different ships. This is one ship which is the ship of Nav Gurukul, which is challenging the ecosystem, which is saying that no, college is bullshit, no, colleges don't work. Then there's the idea of colleges saying that colleges are the only thing that work. Any other thing which is not revolving around the system does not work. So the idea that I'm sure this has its good parts, and this Nav Gurukul ship also has its bad parts. Similarly for the college ship. I mean, is there a way we can cross-collaborate more? Is there a way where I take in a lot of good stuff happening at the colleges, we get to work with professors, while they can take some of our learnings?
Okay, so we understand that you have a boys' campus in Dharamshala and a girls' campus in Bangalore.
Right.
So can you tell us a little bit about the journey that led you to choosing those two areas as your campuses?
So initially we started out our journey in Delhi, the most polluted city in the world, or one of the most polluted cities in the world. So a bigger idea of our course behind, apart from just learning software engineering, was that how students can connect with their own selves, how students can understand more about their own selves, and how students can start appreciating the little things in life than just being people who want to become the pizza eating class who writing code. So for that thing, I think connecting with nature and just being very close to nature is something which was very important for us. So that's why Dharamshala, I mean, Abhishek is my co-founder. We've been fascinated by the mountains since a long time. Even when we were based out of Delhi, we used to always talk about it to the students of how in a few months we're going to move to the mountains. But that never worked out for the first batch. So that's one of the reasons to move to the mountains, basically. And Dharamshala is a city. Now, we're not based out of Dharamshala, we're based out of a village which is very close, it's around 6 kilometers from Dharamshala. So it gives that seclusion, it gives that sort of solitude and nature and untouched nature. Plus it also has a nice infrastructure in terms of roads, internet and so on, which is sort of required to run an organization. So that's why Dharamshala. And Bangalore also, our campus is not exactly in Bangalore. It's actually, so the Bangalore campus, the idea was that Bangalore has a nice tech ecosystem which we want to capitalize on. Right now, our ecosystem ourselves is not strong enough. The number of alumni we have in sheer numbers is very less. So we cannot build structures which would support Nav Gurukul. So we wanted a lot of external support. And Bangalore as a city, being the tech capital, being the Silicon Valley of India, offers it that support. Plus, we also choose a campus which is relatively not in Bangalore, which is far off in Bangalore. So it's has good farmland, good nature around it. So again, the nature was one of the biggest criteria. And for Bangalore, it was also sort of going to a technology hub.
And since you spend a fair amount of time in Auroville, is there anything that this community could help you with in the process of Nav Gurukul?
So one of the things I think Auroville will be fundamental to help me with, and also to help all the students with, is that Auroville is sort of, Auroville itself is an experiment in making, And there are a lot of other experiments in alternatives and self-exploration and different arts and different cultures going on inside Auroville. So, and these experiments going on, either it's in the form of the whole city or it's in the form of smaller subcultures within Auroville, offer a very nice chance of exploring my personal interests, exploring my journey of self-discovery, and also for the students. So how just the sheer exposure to Auroville, sheer exposure to the different ideas which are being worked upon in Auroville, if that's something which students can get, or if ideally you could open a center around in Auroville in the near future, I think that'll be super cool for the students, for the kind of exposure that will drive for the students of Nagpur, and personally for the team too.
Okay, so the your campuses, the campuses, they run on the idea of self-governance, right?
Right.
Where they're basically given a general framework that's been set forth, and then they're basically left to their own devices. So how does Navgurukul go about dealing with, say, disciplinary issues and things like that, or students who are lagging behind in academics? So how does Navgurukul deal with these things differently?
So the idea behind dealing with, I'll come back to the academics, but let's say the disciplinary issues. So there were two ideas which we wanted to, which sort of make us differ from the crowd, or which we have a different take on it. A, in terms of disciplinary issues, I think disciplinary issues are something which need to be dealt with. I mean, something as simple as, I mean, there'll be strictly no compromisables, like not having alcohol on the campus, not smoking up or smoking tobacco on the campus. Then there'll be smaller disciplinary things which will be context driven. A Dharamshala boys campus will have different things. A Bangalore girls campus might have different thing, and a boys campus, let's say in Auroville, or a girls campus in Auroville, if we ever open, would have different contexts. So the idea of self-governance was that how we, as the Navgurukul team, should not become a centralized authority in telling them what to do. We should not set the ground rules. We think that, much like a decentralized Swaraj model, this people themselves who are actually there on ground are much better judges of their lives and their problems than us. So the idea of self-governance was that we have a Navgurukul constitution in place, which sets the basic values, basic ethos, and basic non-compromisable rules. But apart from that, everything can be taken care of by the students themselves, because they understand their context much more. So yes, there are disciplinary actions which take place. There are times when the students are kicked out for like a few things, like a few non-compromisables, like drinking alcohol. But there are also times where there are some disciplinary issues which are dealt with by the students themselves, because they have a much better understanding about it than us. I mean, something as simple as not showing up to class on time. I mean, most of the times, if you set a centralized rule, not showing up to class on time, a lot of people would suffer who actually had some genuine issues behind not showing up at class on time. But now, at a place where this thing of not showing up in class on time is governed by the students themselves, the rules are set by the students themselves. So something as simple as people not showing up on time, or whatever personal reasons they might have, are respected much more. So that's one thing about how we kind of, in a self-governed and a self-managed setup, how do we see that if the students are academically lagging behind, or they're lagging behind in different ways? So we do definitely have checks and balances. We have very regular, so we don't have assessments, we don't have exams in the traditional setup, but we have regular check-ins on students. So it's a peer learning setup. If I'm a student who's 2 months into the course and there's someone who's 4 months into the course, the person who's 4 months into the course would be guiding me and would be a mentor of sorts. So there are continuous check-ins every 2 weeks around the students, and whenever there's a red flag, whether it's in the form of the attitude problem with the student, or it's in the form where the students are unable to follow the curriculum or something of that sort, we intervene, we understand where the problems are, and try to tweak and twist and make the system better.
Okay, so going forward, what are the biggest steps that are planned out for Navgurukul?
So going forward, some of the biggest steps that are planned out for Navgurukul are, I mean, one of the big steps is basically scaling up in terms of the number of students we are working with, and also increasing the diversity of the students we work with. So right now, the students which we work with are mostly coming from a sort of 60-40 ratio of rural to urban, mostly girls and boys. How can we increase our diversity in terms of gender? How can we work with transgenders, let's say, because right now also it's not gender inclusive per se. We might have the equal number of boys and girls, but there's a lot more we're not covering. Also increase diversity in terms of the income status, the geographies, while also increasing the number of students. So that's one. Scaling up in just in terms of numbers. The next thing is also, I think, that as Navgurukul, one of the things which we've grabbed more than software engineering is this culture. Is this culture of self-learning, is this culture of prioritizing input over output, is this culture where students are the co-creators instead of just being the mere students. How can we take these learnings and apply it to different courses which offer them similar high growth opportunities like software engineering? So one of the things which I can think of is, can we start a course in mental health? Can we train people to be counselors in a much better fashion than the normal system trains, which A, gives a nice livelihood to the students which we work with, and also similarly gives undercuts the prices of the markets for mental health services, which is a dire need in India in a lot of ways. So similarly, we have a few ideas around having courses in tourism and travel. So those are a few things that are going on in our mind.
Okay, so on what parameters are students accepted into Navgurukul, and how has that changed from the first batch that you got, and how are things operating now?
So right now, in terms of parameters, because Navgurukul is a journey, especially in terms of where students discover their own interests or discover what they're more interested in, or the parts where they go on their experiential internships. The only criteria which we judge the students right now, because we think all of that is something which the students discover on their own, and most of them come from backgrounds where this discovery was not given any heed to. So the only parameter we judge the students are basic logical abilities and very basic math and English skills, you can think of them as grade 6 or grade 7 or grade 8 math and English skills, so that they'll be capable enough to do the software engineering bit. Otherwise, we offer them such a diversity that it doesn't matter the kind of... So that's the only criteria which we have. Back in the first batch, the criteria were similar, but our understanding of those criteria, our understanding of what kind of English skills are we looking for, what amount of math skills are we looking for, was not really good. So we played around with a lot of different levels of students. We understood what is the least which we can do, what is the highest which we can do, because theoretically I would love to work with someone who doesn't have any skills at all and who could maybe, but that would just mean that student taking up, let's say, 4 years in Navgurukul, then 1.5 or then 1 year. And right now there are some financial and logistical constraints because of which we cannot increase the course length from 1.5 years at maximum. And primarily being donors are not giving, donors, we don't have the kind of money to increase it to more than that. So that's why those are the major criteria. They have been the same, but our understanding on them and our standardization has been much better now than it was during the early days.
Okay, and this way of experiential learning, as you said, how has it translated to success in the job market so far? Out of the batches that have passed out, how have things been going?
As in the job market, it's mostly been quite successful. That most of the students who have come to Navgurukul are doing jobs in the normal mainstream job market, and they're doing jobs as software engineers. So typically the peers the students work with are software engineers from mainstream colleges in the country who've done degrees in 4 years. So that's been translating out very well, especially in the technology part, where their technology and the programming appetite is quite well. But one of the challenges which we're facing, which is also understandable, is that these students come from a very different context. These students came from a context where they never spoke English probably up till their class 12th, if they studied till class 12th, or up till class 10th, if they studied till class 10th. They didn't have the sort of exposure to new ideas, the sort of cinema, to the sort of arts, to the sort of culture, which people from normal colleges had. So the kind of journeys to understand all of that they have to make are much more complex and much more time-taking than the normal students. So there are times in terms of communication, in terms of assimilating into a culture which is very different from what they're coming from, are the challenging bits which we're trying to work on. But overall, it's been pretty good.
And the last question that I had was that, looking at the big picture, so let's say down the line, what has to happen over Navgurukul's journey for you to say that this has been a job well done?
What has to happen in Navgurukul's journey?
Like, what changes do you wish to see, whether it's in education or the conversations that we're having as a culture?
Right.
What are the changes you think should be brought about and can be brought about through Navgurukul?
So, There are two levels of this answer. The first level, just in terms of, if I talk about in terms of Navgurukul, what would be a job well done? And then I'll talk about the bit of how the culture and the conversations and the culture around education changes. In terms of Navgurukul, I think the idea is that we're putting people on this journey, which makes them financially stable, but also gives them this launching pad to experiment with their own selves, to understand what they like, to become change makers in their own rights, to become explorers and seekers in their own right. So now the idea is that as many people who get on that journey, so if a lot of people decide 1 year down the line that, well, software engineering is not the thing for me, it gave me financial stability, but now I want to do something else, now I want to experiment with something totally else, totally different. The idea is Navgurukul gives them that confidence and that backing out of after which they can experiment in whatever way they like. So that would be success for me. Not getting engineers into the best IT companies, not getting engineers with the highest pay packages. That will be success in terms of Navgurukul. And in terms of overall as a culture, if you come to think about it, I think in the current conversations we are having about any education system, whether it's Navgurukul or whether it's college, whether it's basically college or school or any form of traditional education system, it happens in a very centralized fashion. It happens in a fashion where we're looking for common solution which fits everyone. So just can these decentralized silos of innovation happen? Can alternatives which do not fall under the traditional degree setup of things exist? And if we start having conversations around it, can we think of an alternative for architecture? Can we think of an alternative for music? And can we think of how those alternatives can be as inclusive, with as what we're trying Navgurukul to be, in the sense that people from underprivileged categories, people from different genders, people from different castes. I mean, this is sort of an inclusivity which I think lacks in the current education system. If we start having conversations around that, and if there are some ground level changes which happen on that, I'll be super excited.
Thank you so much for all the insight, not only into Navgurukul, but into how you think as a whole.
Thanks so much. And we hope that Navgurukul continues to expand, because it's actually a very, when we came for the talk yesterday, like it was something completely,
well, I don't think we've ever thought of possibility of something like
of something that like this could actually exist and function, and it's been growing quite a lot, because you have what, 120 students, and you started out with 8 or 10.
Yes.
So that's massive growth. Like you said, you scaled up quite a bit, and your aim eventually is to have in a year and a half to have 1,000 students, right?
Yes.
So if things keep going this way, there's no doubt that it can happen. So thanks so much for your time, Krishna.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Yeah.
This program was produced by Avdi Bhalgad and Akshay Thimaya, students of Symbiosis Center for Media and Communication, Pune. Thank you for listening.